right, we're back. Thanks for tuning in. You are listening to The Drew Marshall Show. We're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca. We're also Facebook live streaming video. Still don't know how to say that. I don't know why anybody would watch radio on video.
Because they're so pretty.
It's because of the hairstyles of the two gentlemen in front of you.
Right.
Listen, a Scotsman, a Welshman, and an Irishman walk into a radio show and talk about Brexit. That's happening right now. During my time in Europe over the last few weeks, the conversation of Brexit came up time and time again. And so I thought it might be interesting to hear from someone in three British countries other than England about one of the most economically complicated political maneuvers ever witnessed by humanity. Do you think that's overstating it? Is that a little drama-ish?
No, not at all.
All right.
It's a mess.
Let's see if this technology works. Let's bring in the boys here. First of all, Simon from Scotland. Simon Fitzpatrick, buddy, are you there? How are you? And what time is it there?
I am doing. I'm good, thank you. And it is 9:05. Yeah, 9:10 here.
And how many pints in are you?
I am 2 pints in, but that will not impact my radio performance. Fortunately, we're on video, so
it will enhance it.
You guys are right. Declan from Ireland. Declan has been on the show before. He's the new Baird of Tyrone. Declan, thank you for joining us again. What time is it? Wait, you guys have the same time zone, so nobody cares. I don't know if we should keep going with how many pints in are you. Declan, are we into that kind of realm?
Well, Drew, as I have just been at a funeral today.
You're loaded then.
More cups of tea than I ever want to drink again in my life. Typical Irish funeral, just lashings of tea.
Oh, man. Declan, thank you for joining us. Simon, thank you for joining us. And then our Welshman, Phil. Phil the Welshman. I want you to think of the movie Notting Hill and that Welshman that lost, that answered the door in his underwear when Julia Roberts was discovered by the press. That's what this guy looks like and sounds like. Ladies and gentlemen, Phil, the Welshman representing the great country of Wales. Now, you are in Cyprus, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. And the time here is, I think it's 10:11.
Right. How many pints?
Six. 6 pints in. I've been watching the rugby today. I think Scotland did quite well. Wales beat South Africa, so all good.
Okay. Just before we move on to the conversation about Brexit, Phil, you know I've got to do this with you because it was really our first conversation when I met you.
I know it's coming.
In Cyprus. Can you please tell me the name of that place in Wales that just is the most, it's the weirdest named place in the world. It's got like 4,000 letters in it. Phil, go.
It's the train station, Llanfair, Pwll Gwyngyll, Go Gerill, Gwyn Drobaill, Llandysilio, Go Go Goch.
With a snort at the end. I love it. Oh, buddy.
That's not a snort. That is how it sounds.
Oh, man. Crazy. All right, listen. I want to go to Simon first because Simon, he and I were chatting a little bit about this when I was staying at his place in Perth, Scotland. And Simon, for the ignorant North Americans who really don't care or grasp the concept of Brexit, let me just ask you first, do you think this actually impacts you personally, whether you guys are in or out? You personally, Simon?
Yeah, if I'm honest, Drew, I don't know because it hasn't played out yet, but I would have to say, you know, from a personal economic point of view, possibly not. I think from a work perspective, I work in housing, which is a very inward-looking market. So again, possibly not a giant deal. It certainly impacts me in that I have never experienced the boredom that I have in hearing about it and seeing it every single day. We have Declan, the Irishman, on the line. I now know more about the Irish border than I ever wanted to. I have to be honest, Drew, and say, you know, for the everyman, which I certainly consider myself to be, although it is big news, I don't know if it is big impact certainly yet for me.
Okay, so that's a good segue to Declan. Declan, again, when I've been chatting with people about this Brexit stuff, the conversation of the border in Ireland, the north and the south, for us ignorant North Americans, the north is part of Britain, the south is not. And so one of the things apparently that's holding up the Brexit conversation is what to do with that border. Is that true?
Yeah, and the north is part of Ireland. Yeah, it is very contentious, and there are we have two main political parties here, and the Unionist Party, the DUP, have somehow turned it into a kind of an identity issue and a national issue, and the border has become quite contentious because there are people here who fear that if a hard border, in other words, custom posts, etc., checkpoints are set up, that it could lead to a return to the violence that we suffered for a great number of years. Hmm. And it is quite contentious. And to give a bit of background to your listeners, the DUP, the Democratic Unionist Party, are propping up Theresa May's Conservative government, who are also known as the Conservative and Unionist Party. So they hold sway, in a way, in the House of Commons. So it's interesting times, but I can take Simon's point. You know, we are Brexited out. You know, we Brexit out morning, noon, and night.
Yeah.
And he mentioned he has heard more about the Northern Ireland border than he ever thought he wanted to hear or would ever want to hear. And Winston Churchill. Was famous for referring about 90 years to our troubles here, and he talked about the dreary steeples of Fermanagh and Tyrone, and the dreary steeples of Fermanagh and Tyrone are now back prominent in British politics yet again.
Wow, very well said. What an orator you are. Okay, now in direct contrast to that great oration, Phil. Phil. Go ahead, mate.
So my position on this is I'm probably pretty much the same as Simon. I've heard more about the backstop. I don't know what a backstop means. My son comes home and he's 10 and he's saying to me, Dad, I'm learning about backstops. And I'm thinking, oh my God, what is this all about? So I'm the same as everybody else. I'm completely Brexited out. I'm done with it.
Okay, but here's the thing. From a Wales point of view, from a Welshman's point of view, I know you're tired of hearing about things, but you guys are the purest form of British existence. Like, you guys are actually more British than any other part of Britain. That's what you told me to say, Phil.
But that is true. That is a true fact. So, it's true.
Well, the difference is, Drew, we're happy about that. Declan and I are not bothered by that at all.
That's right. Okay.
And it's not necessarily the Irish and the Scots that I'd want to get rid of from the UK.
No, no. It would Camilla Parker Bowles, I believe. Okay, so when it comes to, again, this is the ignorant North American outsider's point of view, and we just heard our previous guest say something very similar to this, Mubin Sheikh, who's a former jihadist, a terrorist expert. He said that you guys were sold this EU thing, sold Brexit based on a bunch of lies, and the vote was an untrue vote based on lies. But if it's so common, if everyone agrees with that, then, I mean, where does that actually leave you, Simon? If everyone is saying, okay, we were sold a bunch of lies, this is ridiculous, where does that actually leave this Brexit truth? You know, where do you find truth in this scenario? Jeez, I'm stuttering like crazy.
Well, you know, Drew, I listened to your previous caller. I'm not 100% sure I would completely agree with all of his assertions, and I don't think necessarily that everybody in the UK or Britain does feel it was a pack of lies. I think that they would accept that some of the predictions aren't playing out as those would have done. It sounds terrible, those foolish enough to believe such predictions in the first place. But, I think from a Scottish perspective, it's important to note that we didn't vote for Brexit as a country. No, we actually voted 60-40 in favour of staying in the European Union. And I think, I couldn't tell you what the breakdown was in Ireland, Northern Ireland and in Wales, but I think that it seems to have been driven, from my perspective, from a kind of middle England. I was interested in your previous call. I'd also said a slightly right wing. I don't know if that's fair or unfair, but certainly a kind of a nationalistic agenda, which, something in Scotland, of course, we're also used to and sometimes proud of. But I don't think necessarily that that is the case, that the whole of the UK would sit and go, well, it was a pack of lies, we must have a re-referendum or another vote. I think it's a bit more subtle and a bit more complex than that. I don't know what other guys think.
Okay, Declan.
I think it probably is a bit more complex than that. I'd agree with that. But I think a lot of people went with the headline, and also sort of I did, that the NHS would get £350 million a week back that we wouldn't have to pay into the EU. And sort of less than 12 hours after the vote had gone through, or the results of the referendum had come through, Nigel Farage, where is he now, God bless his soul, had completely reneged on that and said, no, well, actually, we didn't mean that. That is one big lie, I think. I think some of the other predictions have come to fruition. The drop in the pound against the dollar, the yen, the euro, so the currency is really taking a battering. I'm currently living in Cyprus. And the pound is taking a huge battering.
Right.
So I think, it is a bit more complex, but there is a lot of lies in there.
So Declan, I want to ask you directly about, as an Irishman, what's your opinion on Theresa May, the Prime Minister?
Theresa May, I would have little mirth on her or her politics, but I admire greatly her guts, that she is standing up against her own party. She is standing against, it would be sniped at in her own party, sniped at by the Labour Party. She has considerably more backbone than many politicians. And I think, while I disagree vehemently with her politics, on a kind of human stance, she has really proved herself to be very steely and strong. And if anything will come out of Brexit, it is the venality and the lack of loyalty in politics, and the self-seeking and the self-serving aspect of many politicians, who are jockeying for positions of power. And when you actually look at the Brexiteers, they are like refugees from a P.G. Woodhouse novel or Downton Abbey. And they are like Boris Johnson is over here today at the DUP conference, and you mentioned the word backstop, or Phil mentioned the word backstop, but he practically spat the word out. It was backstop. He spat it out into the audience, revealing his contempt. And the backstop is basically a technological overview of the border and technological checks.
Right.
And if anything, we were sold a pup, or the people were sold a pup, and the immigration flag was waved, and I think it appealed a wee bit like a certain Donald J. You-know-who in the White House. You tap into people's fears.
Yeah. Yeah.
Similar to a certain man with a toothbrush moustache in the 1920s in Europe.
Yeah, do you know that's somebody I was thinking of earlier, actually.
yeah. So let me just throw this out, and I want to bring Simon in on this. Simon, I don't know how you're going to take this, but I kind of don't care. The Scots that I have spoken to, spending a bit of time in Scotland, you guys seem fairly wonderbred, fairly white, fairly like subtly racist. Wow, did I just say that?
Ooh.
So do you think the Scots would be more apt to lean into the, ooh, yeah, we don't want a flood of people coming from other places into our place just because we're part of this EU thing?
Well, first of all, thank you for calling us subtle. I don't think we've ever been described as a nation so eloquently. Drew, the short answer is no. And the reason for that is, like I say, firstly, we actually voted in greater numbers than any other. It sounds like I'm competing now with Wales and Northern Ireland. I'm not, because it's not rugby. But we voted in greater numbers than anybody else to remain part of the European Union. And we've actually got a fairly explicit policy of accepting immigration. We've managed to help populate the rest of the world, certainly, but we accept immigration because we actually require it for industry. Scotland has a below average working kind of population and above average elderly population. And without sounding too boring, we frankly need the labour, you know. And actually what's happened is there's been a real skills and labour shortage as a result. And not, that's maybe not fair, not necessarily a huge one, but there has been a skills and labour shortage as a result of the kind of ongoing uncertainty around Brexit. So no is the answer. I think we just seem whiter because we tan very badly. And when we get near the sun, those dirty looks we are throwing at people of colour, they're envy. Don't recognise it. We spend most of our time frowning.
Yeah, it's just envy. I get it. All right, I just want to recap again what's happening here in case you've just tuned in and you're wondering what kind of special guests we have on our show right now. And what are these accents? Well, this is a segment we're calling a Scotsman, a Welshman, and an Irishman walk into a radio show. See what we did there? Clever. We're talking about Brexit. So let's just finish this conversation with your individual summaries of what Brexit actually is, because as North Americans, we just don't give a holy grunt. Phil.
I think Brexit is... I don't know. I think it's just something that's been put there for kids in the future so they can learn about it in history because they're sick of learning about Henry VIII. They're just gonna look, that's all it is. It's just a complete load of nonsense. We don't know where we are.
All right. I like it. Now on to into contestant number two, Declan. This sounds like the dating game here.
Well, I wouldn't take Phil's view that we're sort of rewriting history. Or revisionist history. Just to pick up actually on what you were talking to Simon there about, you know, the immigration issue and the white issue in Glasgow, in Scotland. I was over visiting my daughter in Glasgow last year, and there's been a great touring and froing between especially Donegal and Scotland, from the Tatty Hokers 80 or 90 years ago right up to the just constant exchange across. But I was going in search of a pint of stout one night, and I walked down about 100 yards from my daughter's house, and there in one of these pubs in the west end of Glasgow, I could hear these two Donegal accents, and two men were at each other's throats arguing about the distance between the villages of Kilmacrenan and Fulcara in Donegal. And they had been living in Glasgow for a lifetime. They still had the thick Donegal accent, and they were prepared to shed blood over 6 or 7 miles. You know, so that there has been a continuity of kind of movement from Ireland to Scotland. And Brexit is a mistake. What my attitude towards all I can do is the quote the great poet, the great Ulster poet, John Hewitt. And somebody once said, from John Hewitt, if only he knew it, was that rare entity without problems of identity. And he said a very wise thing. He said, I am an Ulster man. I am British. I am Irish. And I am European. Anyone who demeans any one part of me demeans me as a person.
Oh. I don't know what happened. Something moved when you said that. That was... Wow. Okay. All right. So what a poet. Okay. And again, just to contrast that great bit of verbiage from Ireland, Simon.
It's great following Declan, isn't it? I feel like every quote I know is from football players, so there's not that. What is Brexit? Brexit is a mistake. I think Declan said right. And it is something that's largely come about for a couple of reasons. One, I think, is the politics of fear and tapping into, a section of society that frankly do feel disenfranchised, probably not dissimilar to the section of society that Donald Trump taps into.
Yeah.
And in our case, it's been a case of saying these people are coming over and taking your job, which is, as we know, is both nonsense. And yet somehow has chimed with a section of our society that have been disenfranchised. And I think secondly, it is an absolute pointer to the politics of personality. You know, Declan mentioned Boris Johnson, and you know, Boris Johnson's a buffoon. I actually don't think he'd mind me saying that, he's that much of a buffoon, but it is that kind of Trumpian politics of personality that's now taking over. And so it doesn't really matter whether the sense comes out in the discussion. It actually is the who shouts the loudest at the moment. And I think that Brexit is a symptom of that more than anything else.
Well, that is a great spot to leave it right there. And I know our listeners will record this conversation and then put it into Google Translate later, and they'll figure out exactly what all of you said. Phil from, he's the Welshman, and Simon's the Scotsman, and, of course, Declan being the Irishman. To all of you, I just ask you one question, and we'll finish it there. Who did eat all the pies? That's all I want to know. Guys, thank you.
I would have said your mob, but Dad just on the phone.
No. Oh, that was as Jerry Anderson from BBC Four Ulster used to say, yeah, good crack, as they say in Ireland. And for those of you living in the hood in the Bronx, that's not what we're talking about. All right, guys, good night, good evening, and we'll talk to you all again individually another time. Good to have you all three on the show. Thank you, boys.
Great. All the best.
Thanks, Boo.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye now. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. That's how the Scottish people say goodbye. Bye. Bye.
I wanted to ask, I'd heard on this morning driving in, Gibraltar is now another big concern, because technically it's in Spain, but it's a British protectorate or whatever, and the Spanish say it's theirs for the last 300 years, even though it's British. And the people in Gibraltar are freaking out because they're going to have to deal with potentially
falling off the face of the earth?
Yeah. Well, technically or otherwise. Yeah. It's a big mess.
Did you understand? You understood
all
them,
of it,
right?
Yes.
How about the name of that town?
Well, remember we used to play that clip.
The Weatherman.
Yes. Yeah. I still play that clip in school. So you guys have to enunciate. Here's why.